Between the time I found out that there was supposed to be a kind of formal presentation and now, so that there wasn't that much time. So maybe I'll try Be'ezus Hashem Bli Neder to share a few introductory preliminary thoughts, and then I'll look to you for guidance for what else we should be discussing. The Mishnah in Gittin about Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, that Chazru Beisil Lahoros Kedivei Reshamai, that Lisa Shifchai No Yochol, Lisa Vaschorin No Yochol, Kol Olam Ella Leperi Veridia. That there's strong basis for understanding that the mitzvah of Peri Verivya isn't exhausted by just fathering the children, but rather to be mechanech the children to serve as a link in the Shalshalas HaMasorah. The Gemara in Bracha says that Mika Chochon Mi Yodea Pesha Dov Mika Kodesh Baruch Hu Yodea Lassos with the Loshem Sholem Beit Shnei Tzadikim between Chizkiyo and Yeshayo. It was a question of what the correct halachic protocol was, who should come to whom. So what did Kodesh Baruch Hu do? And Kodesh Baruch Hu made Chizkiyahu fall ill, and then sent Yeshayahu Hanavi to deliver a message. Most Talmud will asichi or something, and why Kulei Hai? Why was Chizkiyahu slated? Rachon Letzkaharim Delo Asay Peperi Veribya. So Chizkiyahu defends himself because Chazoy the Nafki Mini Bonin Delo Malay. I saw Beruach HaKodesh, I saw Menashe, I saw Shvach HaDoris, so I wasn't also good for everybody. So Yishayahu answers him, V'hadi kavshed v'achmon alamalach, Ma'idin mifkidis yivoyalach l'me'aved, Ma'idin nicha kamikut shavichu l'aved. So it's meduyak in the Gemara that Yishayahu is telling Chizkiyahu that he was wrong, not in thinking that having Rachman Litzlan, Banan de Lomalei, wouldn't be the theme of Peri Veridya, but that he wasn't supposed to be trading on inside information. You can get thrown in jail for that. You're not supposed to trade on inside information. You have inside information, Beruach HaKodesh, that's going to be Banan de Lomalei. You can't pass in Shilas that way. You don't pass in Shilas. I'll be Kavshe the Rachmana. But the other half of what Chizkiyahu was assuming was very much on target. That's Yitochin. That's the pshat in the Gemara at the end of Cheskas Habatim. The Gemara says at the end of Cheskas Habatim that the miyom shepost malchus ena manachas asanu likanes l'shavua bein l'yeshua bein. So din hu she nigzah al atzmeinu shelo lisa isha velo leholid banim v'nimsa zar shel avar mevinu kolo. But it's exer she'en rov v'tzivu chol ma'amod ba. So Tosfos asks, what do you mean din hu she nigzah al atzmeinu is a mitzvah d'oraisa peri v'rivya? Does it says shema that what the Gemara really means is that nimsa zar shel avinu kolo is an exaggeration. What it really means is that After fathering a ben of duras, so then they should be parashim minishasehim. That's what the Gemara really means. But Tosfos says it as a shema because it doesn't really sound like that in the Gemara. That's not what the Gemara really sounds like. So what could be the Josh? We saved the sifra. So what could be the truth of Shagamah? So Tosfos is considering another possibility. The other possibility is to take the Gemara Kipshuta and say that if it looks like V'derech HaTeva, that there is no chance, Ki Huzeh, to Papa be Mechanech the children, that there is no mitzvah Pei V'Rivya. I'll call upon him that there is very, very strong, and L'chore, that's the, this understanding of the mitzvah is the background, is what stands in the background to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that Rashi quotes in Parshas by Midbar, of Kolam Malamed is Ben Chaverato, Ma'al Olav HaKosov Ki Ilu Yolado. Because the MS is, that is what the mitzvah of Peri Verivia is to generate a hemshech in terms of the masorah, in terms of serving as links in the shalshalas ha-masorah. And Chazal tells us, kol ha-olam lo nivra ela Peri Verivia. The Meshech Chochma comments on the pasuk of Ki Yedaita L'mana Sheyetzav Yizbonov V'Ezbeisa Acharav. Ki Yedaita Kodesh Baruch Hu has a special love, a special chibuch Avraham Avinu. He therefore exercised a special Hashkocha Pratis for Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu was zocha to that. Okay, there's a question whether Leman means because or in order that, but either way, there's a clear correlation. Leman Hashiyatzav is one of his beso achor, the Shamudar Hashem. So the Meshech Chochma writes that this is the mokuf of chinuch. When Chazal say that chinuch is the rabbanon, it means that right now, that the matzis concrete application, right now, at this very moment, that's a din rabbanon. But begadol, as they say, so chinuch is avada daraisa, and it comes from this pasuk of the man Hashiyatzav is born of his beis rachra. So Avraham Avinu was a very elchiyit, an awful lot of zechuyos that the Ribbono Shel Olam could have highlighted. And of all the zechuyos Avraham Avinu has, HaKadosh Baruch Hu highlights this. He highlights the man Hashiyatzav is born of his beis rachra. What's the halacha the ma'ase of all that? So the halacha the ma'ase of all that is, everyone is very, very busy, and I think it's probably more true for those of you who are zocha and are being mosa nefesh to make your lives and livelihood here in Eretz Yisrael. So that description is probably more true than it is of your rich American counterparts who life is very, very busy. It's very, very demanding, and it's a constant juggling act, a constant balancing act. But eichshehu, what's of the ultimate importance, somehow or other, I don't claim to know what the formula is, but somehow or other, if kol olam kula lo nivra elazah, if this is the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Ki Yedaitev, so somehow or other, no matter what all the demands are, it can't be that we find time for everything except for what's supposed to be the crowning achievement, for what everything is really supposed to feed into. So what does that mean? How is it possible? So I don't know. The Rav Margalef Bafume, when he was looking to be mechazek people, when he was looking to encourage people, so Taki, he was talking about a different element of chinuch, about when he came to America, so kids were going to public school. Well, there were I don't know if there were any schools outside of New York. I think the Maimonides school that he founded was maybe the first school outside of the New York area. I think you already had RJJ. You had in the New York area, but it's for us unimaginable what the matzav was. So he was being mezaring mechazek, and saying how we carry a double load, And in addition to whatever the universal dimension, but there's the particular dimension. And I used to say, I don't know if it's possible, but one thing I do know is we're going to do it because we have to do it. That was the Lashon. I don't know if it's possible, but whether it's possible or not, if it's what has to be, so then you know that it's going to be. And finding time to spend with children, you know, chinuch, obviously it's a very crucial and critical decision what schools, what yeshivas we send our children to. That's certainly a pivotal element and component, but I don't think anything overshadows just the time that parents spend with children. There is some truth to, you know, the aphorism about quality time, but there's only so much truth to it. You know, there's only so much value you can get out of 5 minutes of quality time, or 10 minutes of quality time, or even 20 minutes of quality time. The quality time needs quantity as well. Maybe Indian. So we mentioned the part of chinuch, part of parenting is identifying the best yeshivas, the best schools to send children to. Many years ago, at the time, I think I was teaching in high school in MTA at the time. I think he actually lives here now. So Rabbi Hendel, Yitzhak Hendel, was one of the rabbeim in MTA at the time, and Rachman Litzlan, he lost his father in that tkufa, both his parents. So I was at the levaya, and I don't remember the name of the rav who was masvid. But at a Yom Hazeh, I remember a couple of the things he said. One of the things he said is, he says, the minhag in America is, he says, before you buy a car, you test drive the car. It's a big investment. I mean, much bigger investment now as 30 years ago. Now it's a crazy investment. So I'd rather you test drive the car. If you're buying a used car, so you take it to a mechanic you trust, and you ask him for his chavos das, whether or not this car looks like it's worth the investment. He says, so meaning America is, before you buy a car, you test drive the car. He says, when you decide which school to send your kids to, so you get a little bit in Pia Shmua here, a little bit in Pia Shmua, that's shine, and you sign them up, and you send the kid off. The car, you test drive. No, you have to sit, and you have to see, is it comfortable? Is the clearance good? Does it handle well? How are the shocks? Do you feel every bump that you go over in the road? He says, your kids, you sign up their kids, shine, and then you send them off to school. And he said in his hesped for Rabbi Hendel's father, he said, he didn't test drive his cars. He bought a car sight unseen, he said, but he went to visit schools before he sent his kids to school. It was a beautiful tribute because it's such an excellent point. It's all fine and good and one should, because one should supplement whatever first-hand knowledge one can get from hearing about people who've had experience, people who are as much as possible on the same wavelength. But ain't a dama shmeleriyah, ain't a dama shmeleriyah, and no one knows your children better than you do. So when you have choices between yeshivas, between girls' schools, the best thing is to go visit and to see. And not just if the kid is holding by first grade, to just see the first grade Rebbe, or if the child's holding by ninth grade, to see the ninth grade. Now hopefully, where the child goes for first grade, hopefully he or she is going to continue for 8 years. So you have to see the first grade, you have to see the fourth grade Mora, you have to see the seventh grade Mora, you have to see how the whole school functions. You have to see where the kids go subsequently. There's no reason to rely on Mipi HaShmua. And it's I don't know, the answer can be satisfactory, but if a menahel or menahelas should understand that request. If the reaction is, what are you talking about? No one comes to sit to listen in. It raises a question. I don't know what the answer is. One can't obviously prejudge in the abstract the answer, but it raises a question. Two of the biggest middos we need to constantly cultivate. One is the mida of patience. To parent, you have to have patience. Shlach lach mochal penei amayim ki lerov yomim timtzayna. That's it's true for parenting. It's true in chinuch. If you want instant returns, you don't get instant returns. If Bissal Salanta tells us that to change one midah, to fix one midah, is more of a challenge than to learn through Gans Shas, so then the same way we realize with ourselves that it doesn't happen overnight. So clearly, okay, so granted that the children are at an age where they're more malleable, and it's not as entrenched, not as calcified as it is with adults, but afal pichein, it's not something where there's instant gratification necessarily. The mida of patience is one which it's difficult to exaggerate how the its role in parenting. And the other thing is that parents need to be secure people, secure individuals. When a child is at different ages, different stages, when a child is saying no, when a child is not cooperating, so the parent can't personalize that opposition, that misbehavior. Ruba de ruba, it isn't personal. Ruba de ruba, it's not a reaction. If a parent is not secure, so then the parent takes it personally, and then it becomes a power struggle, v'chulu v'chulu, and nothing good happens. Parents need to be secure, and as secure individuals, as secure individuals, so then parents can see that children are children, and older children are older children, and sometimes that kind of opposition comes with a turf, and it isn't something that one should be reacting on the level of that I'm being challenged and I have to assert my position and I assert my authority. One has to try to understand what it is and what needs the what reaction is the correct one. Maybe the biggest yesod in all interpersonal relationships and therefore by application to parenting as well. Every one of us by nature is self-centered. Every person. I don't think there's a person who isn't naturally self-centered. And everyone's self-centered, with children, so we see it in very amusing ways. For instance, little kids, until a certain age, so when they close their eyes, they think the people are not there. Because it's a self-centeredness. So if I close my eyes, I don't see you. So self-centeredness tells me that you're not there. So at a certain age, we outgrow that. But love dafka, we outgrow all the other aspects and elements of self-centeredness. And maybe I'm talking about the crude trust self-centeredness, more subtle, refined forms, and maybe the most prevalent and dominant subtle refined form of self-centeredness is that we all naturally see the world from our perspective. And the biggest yisod in interpersonal relationships in interpersonal relationships is to be able to see the world from the other person's perspective, to see what it means to that person. Another hesped I heard much more recently, when Hillel Zinkin lost his father. So his father was a surgeon, a very accomplished surgeon. So I think one of the children or children-in-law said in the hesped that once his father-in-law was very agitated, that the schedule wasn't running on time, and the surgery is what we're going to be late. So he was really he was worked up about it. He was very agitated about it. So someone said, so what's the big deal? So instead of the surgery being at 11:00, 11:30, so so he said, you don't understand, the people waiting for the surgery, they're on pins and needles, they're so nervous, it's such an agonizing time for them, there's so much anguish, he said. To prolong that, even a minute, unnecessarily, is totally unacceptable. So it's a gadlus, which we all need to try to develop to the best of our abilities. We all need to cultivate to be able to see the world from the other person's perspective. A doctor has to see it from a patient's perspective. I read somewhere that in some medical schools, so they started as part of the training doctors. So they have doctors who very flippantly tell older patients who are either suffering from arthritis or whatever, other similar conditions, they tell them, well, just get up here on the examining table, you know, and very flippantly, you know. So as part of the medical school training now, so they try to simulate what that is. So they wrap them up in all kinds of, you know, so that their motions are limited and they can't move, and then they tell him, jump up on the table. And obviously he can't jump up on the table because he can't bend his leg. He can't make the motions that a healthy younger person takes for granted. So an older person often can't do. Again, it's self-centeredness, but again, maybe that's a little bit of a less subtle form and example of it. But it's meisim b'chol yom, mamish, in every situation, our natural reaction is we see the world from our perspective, and to deal with another person with kindness and sensitivity, and that's obviously how we have to deal with our children. So we have to be able to see what the situation is from their perspective, not just from our perspective. With little kids, so small children, a scenario which very easily develops is that the kids get stuck, but by which the child doesn't want to go to sleep. Doesn't want to go to sleep. Okay, so my simple whole life, right? Children don't want to go to sleep. So you can just lay down the law and say you're going to sleep. Period. That's what Ima says. That's what Abba says. Period. Maybe you'll be zocher to a nice, and the child will say, okay, and go jump into bed and be asleep within 5 minutes. More likely, it's just going to make the child more tense, and it's going to set back the whole process. You give a child a little something, it helps the child transition. You give them an extra 5 minutes, a little something. When a child has to clean up his room, you get down on the floor with him, and you put the first toy in the toy box, he'll end up doing most of it. He or she will end up doing most of it. But you have to help the child not just feel frustrated. The child needs to not get stuck. And there are, I don't know, one sees parents who don't do that all the time, one sees a certain rigidity, and it's just so counterproductive, and it's so destructive, and it just spirals downward. Give an extra 5 minutes. Help the child clean up. You're instilling the same midah, the same responsibility to clean up after oneself. The same life lesson is being taught. You're being mechanech the child, and it's being done in a positive and productive and nurturing way, rather than authoritarian fashion.
We don't have as good tables as the rich friends in America.
Good gazette. Maybe in a similar vein, I guess it's true at most ages, but maybe even more true when the children are already somewhat older. The overall tone and substance of one's relationship with one's children has to be very positive, has to be very loving, has to be nurturing. It doesn't mean that one doesn't draw lines. It doesn't mean that one isn't mechanech. It doesn't mean that one doesn't say no. But we have to be careful that the no's and the drawing lines are not all chazir etzarufei. That what happens is that the overall tone and tenor of the relationship ends up being a negative one, where more often than not, whether in the child's perception or maybe even in the reality, the father and children, the mother and children are more often at odds and loggerheads than they are functioning as a loving nuclear unit. What happens if your child doesn't do his homework and doesn't go to bed and doesn't clean up after himself and doesn't tuck in his shirt, and what happens if there's like 15 things that you need to tell him? So how do you avoid that? So the answer is that we have to triage, and you can't you have to pick your battles. And even those shouldn't be battles. That's just using the phrase. You have to triage, but it can't be that there are so many things that we're commenting on to other children that the cumulative effect of that is that the overall tone and tenor of the relationship becomes a negative one, and when the child says slichus, he's not going to have any hasaga what karachim of abana means. He's gonna think that's a misprint. He's gonna think kitzok of al habanim. It's a big yisod. So, is there a value that a boy should have his shirt tucked in? Absolutely. Is it a value necessarily that one can be working on at any given time? No, not necessarily, because maybe there are more important things to have to bring to his attention, and it can't be that that everything is mitzvah, so that the overall tone and tenor of the relationship becomes something which is negative. It has to be. And it's also the case that the more that a person thinks taka needs correction with a child, so the more one has to find and manufacture opportunities to do things together with the child that the child enjoys, that help create that context. One word from a parent whom the child sees as loving and nurturing is worth more than a thousand words from a parent whom he doesn't get those vibes from. It's zicher can be a mitzvah d'oraisa of Meshel Chochem Zalana Sheyitzav to play catch with your children in the backyard and to take them on tiulim v'chulu. That's the context in which a parent has hashpa'a is when the child receives those vibes that. Again, and children, even before they can articulate such a thing, so they have an uncanny sixth sense for what those vibes are. And avada, unless you're dealing with someone who's really not a good person, so all parents love their children. But it's not enough that we love our children. It has to be telegraphed. Those have to be the vibes that the kids get. And what that means is you have to triage and there may be things which in a different context and maybe a different stage will be worthy of comment, but right now Basher Husham, okay, so it sure won't be packed in. Again, Shlach Lach Mechal Panei Amayim Ki Lerov HaYomim Timsayin. There's time for that later. In general, In successful parenting, a parent should command respect and never have to demand respect. If a parent finds himself or herself having to demand respect, something is wrong in the relationship. Again, what's wrong? I don't know. So then one has to make a cheshbon hanefesh and try to figure out what's wrong. But in a normal, healthy parent-child relationship, a parent never ever has to demand respect and never ever should be demanding respect. Parents naturally, again, if they're loving, nurturing, patient parents command respect naturally. It's a natural reaction that children have. I think the Chovos HaLevavos writes that why is it when you look to the animal kingdom, so even relative, obviously the animals have a shorter lifespan than people do, but even if you prorate it, the period of dependence that animal babies have, even when you prorate it, is much shorter than that of human children. So the Chovos HaLevavos says that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world that there's a longer period of dependence, emotional, physical dependence that children have on their parents is to allow for chinuch. Because as long as when children feel that dependence, so they're also open to guidance, they're open to hashpah. So parents are naturally positioned to command respect, and something serious is amiss if parents are demanding respect and not naturally commanding respect. Maybe just two last comments. We need it, Mitzvah Hashem. Similar to what we were talking about before about triaging, there can be some issues that maybe are such a sore point. And again, all these things need chokhmah to know how to apply, when to apply. Everything we're talking about can be misapplied, can be misdirected. In ein daya habdal minayin. That's why the first bakosha is daya. Without the daya, nothing else. Without the daya, so all the talking and all the guidance and all the parenting books, that doesn't add up. You know the Yiddish joke about he's already older teenager, maybe already maybe even older. He comes home and tells his mother that there was a bar mitzvah in Shul this morning. So she says to him, "So did you go older? Did you say mazel tov to the bar mitzvah bracha to the father?" So no. She said, "You see, people older, yeah. You wish a warm, heartfelt mazel tov." So okay. So the next day, comes home, says, "You know, on the way home from shul, you know, I saw those levaya." He says, "But not to worry. I went over to the children, and I wished them mazel tov and much naches." And she says, "Gevald." After the kfu, you say, "Hamachim yanachem." Next day, tells her. Exciting things in the shul today. There was a chuppah held in the courtyard of the shul, but not to worry. I went over to the chassid and I told him, "I'm mocking Menachem." So obviously, everything we're talking about needs chokhmah to be applied. Sometimes you can have something which a child is such a sore point, and again, this is more likely with an older child. That even if it is relatively important, sometimes l'famim bitula shel Torah zeh kiyuma. Sometimes k'shem shemekablin schar al adrisha, kach mekablin schar al aprisha. Some issues, there are times when a parent just has to look the other way. It's not always the correct approach to force an issue, even if in terms of ranking and prioritizing issues that one would want to provide guidance and discipline for a child, sometimes forcing an issue is just going to create confrontation and it's going to be counterproductive and destructive. Again, you have to know when to say mazel tov and when Rachman Lanzan to say Amalki Menachem Eschem. Obviously a person needs the Chochman, the Siyata Deshmaya, to know when to apply it. But that is an important clown. And finally, I think we're supposed to live by a double standard. As children, vis-a-vis our parents, so we're supposed to be aware of the extraordinary, I mean, Chazal depicted this way, the extraordinary demands of Kibud Av V'Em. Who is it who says? Abayi says, well, one of them, Avraham, says that I feel fortunate that I never saw my parents. That his father died after he was conceived, and his mother died in childbirth. Ashrei Mishalo Chama'an. Because the demands are such. So as children, via our parents, we're supposed to be aware of that, and we're supposed to try. Be'ezus Hashem, you know, we're supposed to try to live up to that. As parents, vis-a-vis our children, so the din is, a person is not supposed to be machbid ulo. A person is not supposed to impose on children. Again, this becomes increasingly relevant. It's relevant at every stage. Becomes increasingly relevant as children get older. A parent is not supposed to be machbed ulo. If a parent can do something for himself, he should do it for himself. Children lo nivru l'sham sheinu. That's not. They have such a mitzvah. They have such a mitzvah, and we have a mitzvah not to be machbed on the children. if I want a cup of tea, so I should get up and make the cup of tea, not the Gemara in Kiddushin. Again, we're talking about I guess for all of you, this is in a somewhat distant future. But Gemara in Kiddushin talks about that you can really look to help mold a child, either 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. But there is a point at which, throughout, as children grow, what parenting entails should be evolving, reflecting the age of the child. But with adult children, it's hands off. At this point, if you did a good job and you had siyata d'shmaya, so they'll come to you and they'll ask you for advice. Whether they do or they don't, you can't give a daya you can't volunteer a daya unless you know that there's a very special relationship and that it's going to be appreciated. But generally speaking, the hashpa you have in adult children is through the hashpa that you had while they were growing up. Often it will be the case that because of the respect that a parent commanded through that kufa in life, so then adult children do turn to their parents for etzes. But if they don't, you have to think long and hard about, if they never do. If they do in general, but they didn't on this issue, so maybe they don't realize the complexity of this issue. They're overlooking something in this issue. But if they never ask for a daya as adult children, you have to think long and hard whether it's a good idea to give the daya. There's a very strong possibility that it's not the right thing. Okay. I hope that wasn't too much of a tilsman.
When you have a number of children and each one is growing up with their own unique personality, their own unique shifas, and a lot of times one child's path in life tends to be different than the next one, the type of yeshiva, the type of seminar, etc. They can all vary, that when applying chanoch v'na'ar pi darko in multiple contexts, you can have a rainbow assortment of hashkafas to juggle under one roof. And I wanted to understand any eitzes of how to create a critical path that allows everybody to find common ground to unite around, and the aspects that are differing and where the differences can be actually significant. Especially today, I find, having done a lot of seeing yeshivas and schools in person here and elsewhere, so I've learned that you really do have to see the place. You could sometimes have a school that the hashkafa that they're trying to present and instill in their students could actually be antithetical to a different school which has a different hashkafa, but there seems to be a part of the curriculum today is to knock the hashkafas, which creates some challenging opportunities in the home when you have students that are going to different schools and they can have sometimes conflicting hashkafas.
So maybe just two brief comments. First of all, in terms of the relationship between the message that children get at home to the one that they get in school, it's very hard, since Keshem Shepitzufeim Shon Kardei Yosei Shonos. So, Mistama, everyone, if every parent, if he or she had the wherewithal to do so, would probably found their own school, because there's something different that they would do than given all the yeshivas out there. There's certainly something different that everyone here in this room would do differently for the ideal school for that child. Right, 100%. So Elamai, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to be founding and funding and running multiple schools. So what ends up happening is one chooses between the existing options. So here it's very, very important that a person can complement and should complement what a child learns in yeshiva. A person can and should supplement what a child learns in yeshiva, but it shouldn't be that the messages are contradictory, because when the messages are contradictory, so then the stage is being set. Maybe some kids will be misgaber on that and will emerge unscathed, but you can make your kid meshuga that way. There was at one point in time there was a family in Boston, and they wanted to send a child of theirs to a yeshiva where the message and the type of lifestyle that was going to be very, very, in a very heavy-handed way advocated was going to be very different than the lifestyle and the messages at home. And the Rav told the father, "Bishum ofen upon him, don't do it. You're going to make your son meshuga." That's what he thought. B'zeh lashon. The father didn't listen, and the nevuah wasn't his kind. He made his son meshuga. Ad yom hazeh, he hasn't been able to find himself. He's not married. He's not a young man. You can supplement, you can complement, but you can't be at odds with your child's Rebbe. It's a tug of war, so the person who loses most in the tug of war is the person in the middle. More than the person on either side, it's the child in the middle who's at highest risk. So when choosing amongst what we all as parents will consider relatively imperfect options, you have to choose the imperfect option which most lends itself to complementing, and most, as in complementary angles, which most lends itself to supplementing, and wherever that, in whatever direction that takes you. You don't want, if a yeshiva is sending a very negative message about something that you think is a positive value that you want to communicate to your child, so then that's going to be a no-win situation. If you're going to send your child to there, then you got to, excuse the analogy, you got to fold your hand and just give up on that value. But if you're going to constantly be fighting, the Rebbe's going to be telling him one thing and you're going to be telling him the other. So ma yasa ben shelo yachto. So either he loses his respect for his rebbeim, so that's no good. He loses his respect for his parents, that's no good either. Or he doesn't know what to think, and he doesn't know whether he's coming or whether he's going. The more the yeshiva is just positive about what it teaches and not negative about what it opposes, so obviously the more room that leaves for again that non-antagonistic complementing and the supplementing. In order to do that, also it's crucial that. For parents to be mashpia on their children, for parents to be able to guide and steer their children on the derech that they think is most correct, which is best for the child, so you have to not only be your child's parent, but you have to be your child's rebbe as well. It's crucial that we love children. Kol zman that the parent is only a parent, and I don't mean to belittle or to demean anything, chas v'shalom, which we associate with parenting. But kol zman that the parent's involvement doesn't involve also being the child's Rebbe. Okay, so my Rebbe said like this, and my father said like this, so mustamba, the Rebbe knows better. But if the parent consistently throughout the years learns with a child, okay, so this is my Rebbe for 1 year, and my father, my mother, so that my Rebbe year after year. I have much more of a relationship with them, not only as parents, but as Morei Derech, as Rebbeim. Any hashpah that we want to have on our children, it's really, really crucial that we be in reality and therefore will be perceived not only, again, and I don't mean that in any belittling way, Rachman Latzlan, not only as parents, but that we be their Rebbeim as well. Juggling the needs of different children with different personalities and therefore for whom different drachim are most appropriate obviously can create tension. You know, why do I go to a yeshiva where there's less vacation and he goes to a yeshiva where there's more vacation? So, sort of, stay true as Badova. One is that a large part of that can be undercut if the child taki is in the right environment and the child's going to be enjoying it. The question won't be asked as often and it won't be as pointed a question. Maisa, if the child's getting a chiyus, getting a geschmack, and if it's so onerous that the question is being asked constantly and pointedly and resentfully, so then maybe there's an adjustment that needs to be made. So that's one. The other truth of Adava is that whatever, you don't have to share this heresy with a menahalim, but you know what? If one child taki goes to a yeshiva where there's less vacation, and then the others have more because those are the right drachim, and so you take a day off, you let the kid you keep the kid out of school for a day and you take him on and you take him on a teal, whatever, if the manal will know him like it, so you don't have to tell him, you don't have to you don't have to tell him, you have to there's
no manals.
Everyone has their achrayas. People who are in charge of running a school, so they have achrayas to make sure the school runs properly, that there's decorum, that the things are not hefka. That's their achrayas, and they do it with tremendous devotion and tremendous dedication. And parents, so their achrayas is not to the 100 kids. Is lachich laniyachah? Is benal kodem leben benal and ben benal kodem leben chaveru? Parents achrayis is to their children, so the everyone should be carrying out what their primary achrayis is. And in such a situation, if giving an extra day here and there for a tiyul is something which is going to allay and abort that type of resentment, so then it's a good measure to take.
If you put the primacy on maintaining relationships, especially as children get older, to maintain a good relationship with the child, but that child might also have influence or maybe even deleterious effects on other children in the household. How do you balance between maintaining that relationship, but of course, and a warm relationship in the household, but knowing that has broader impact than simply on themselves?
There's no good easy answer to that question. I think that the formulation of the question, obviously attests to the fact. There's no good easy answer to that question. Other than to say that a person is constantly in docha nefesh mit my nefesh. Obviously, one can't attempt to save one child at the expense of all the other children, and there are certain lines and positions that parents, you know, that it may be necessary to take because of that. Ein Goldfisch mit mein Nefesh. As much as possible, one leaves no stone unturned to make it after the Kayim Shnehem, whether it's talking to the other children and explaining to them that their older brother or sister, younger brother, sister, whatever, is going through a very difficult time and v'chulu. So you try everything possible to make it after the Kayim Shnehem. The bottom line is that, again, Ein Dofen Nefesh B'nei Nefesh, one catering to one child can't be at the expense of all the other children. But as much as possible, with Chochmah, one tries to avoid that situation. But there's not always a perfect answer.
There's really many recommendations in terms of many times our children get a lot of gifts in terms of from grandparents and money, in terms of how to have an attitude, how to teach them an attitude, how to react with money, or in terms of giving allowance. There's really lots to elaborate.
Again, everything has to be adjusted to the particulars of a given situation. Often it will be the case that if the lifestyle at home is one which is, embodies a correct simplicity, that's not going to be undone by generous Hanukkah gelt from another source. A message can be sent at home. Primarily it's communicated non-verbally, but there's nothing wrong occasionally with communicating it verbally as well. That the constraints under which the home functions are not only just budgetary constraints, but there's also, because there's a value in living simply. There's nothing wrong with, to give an American example, with telling kids, that the reason, we don't go fly somewhere to go skiing on winter vacation is not because we can't afford it. That may be true, but even if we could afford it, we wouldn't be jet setting for vacation, because there's plenty of wholesome rest, relaxation, and recreation that can be had without that kind of affluent avenue. So again, that's a message which hopefully is sent non-verbally by the it's the type of clothing that parents buy for the children. When children become older and they're aware of prices, there's nothing wrong with saying that that's too much to spend on this particular item. Not because the money isn't there, but because if you can't find shoes, if you can't find the clothing at a lesser price, then obviously that when something is an exaggerated price, no, we don't go to that store, because that's a very high priced store, and it's an unnecessary perk which doesn't do anything to contribute to the quality of our lives. Intim seloma, that a situation arises where outside gifts really are interfering with that message that parents are trying to impart to their children. So So then it's legitimate to very nicely, very respectfully, very lovingly turn to, you know, wherever the source of those gifts is, and, you know, ask that it be, you know, moderated, that it be toned down.
As Rebbe suggests, if you have children of similar ages, different genders, of on one hand allowing the children to have friends over and be able to feel like they're welcome in the home, same time you know, trying to create a certain level of comfortability with the other children in the family who you know, who of the opposite gender, you know, you don't want any kid to feel not getting their fair share, but same time there's challenges that come along with that.
Again, I'm not sure there's always a perfect answer to that question either. I think maybe part of it is just in trying to ensure that you know, that all the children are aware of what you know, the sensitivities are and need to be, and that. But they're aware of what the Shmir Sinai is supposed to be, and you know, again, sort of what we were talking about before, you know, seeing the world from another person's perspective, understand what the issues are. Again, once there's understanding, that probably diffuses at least the issue. It doesn't necessarily solve it, but it certainly goes a long way towards diffusing it. You just, when you try to figure out how to, you have to learn how to play chess and move the pieces around. Mm-hmm. You gotta be a chess master. It's always a Jewish sport. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you. Mm-hmm.